via various audio providers, on your phone or tablet, via your desktop or laptop, I don't know. It's time for another edition of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast.
Hello again and welcome to Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast, Episode 5, the show that dares to delve into my personal archive of silly sketches and songs from my Drive Time BR&B show and my Weekend Heart FM show that I presented up in my native Midlands at the start of the century with my co-writers Sean Percival and Andy Robinson. Sean is still with me today as we sprinkle some new stuff in amongst the archive material. And once again, I must humbly thank you for spreading the word about this here show that's getting more listeners with every episode that goes by. Previous episodes can be found where you got this week's show, of course. And depending on the service you're using, you may be able to rate, review and subscribe. And if you can, you want to, I'd be most grateful, of course. It's at TalkDance, that's TalkDants on Twitter. And the website address, if you want to know more or get in touch, is iandanter.co.uk. All right? Goody gumdrops. Loads of good stuff to come today. Black Country Bob, Des's dedications, an archive Mr. Man story, and some great parody songs as well for you. And let's start with a parody song that, as I've explained in more detail before, I always enjoyed creating the backing tracks for myself, either at home, as in this case, or in a bit of a hurry in the BR&B studio. And if it was a classic rock song I liked that I was recording and had time to concentrate on, so much the better. Now, everyone's been talking about the three-part ITV drama quiz this week, which was based on the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Coughgate scandal of 2001 with Major Charles Ingram and his wife in the dock. Now, of course, Millionaire did survive that whole scandal, but a few years on from that court case, we wondered on the Sunday carve-up show in 2005, just how much longer the host, Chris Tarrant, was going to stick around with his contract apparently up for renewal. Cue the band Europe, and let me also happily state for the record that I know damn well that my Tarrant is nowhere near Michael Sheen's in that ITV drama, all right?
Okay! I'm putting peroxide into my hair, 'cause I've got a recording of Millionaire. The contestants are after £1 million.
I get to say,
are you sure? Are you positive? Is that your final answer?
Mr. Tarrant, I'm the commissioning editor for ITV. Can I have a word?
Of course you can. What's it about? Is it A, another new series?
No, it's not that.
B, the ratings have dropped.
Well, it's related, yes.
C, extending my contract.
No, definitely not that.
D, I'm getting the chop.
Yes, that's the one. Yes, it's D, I'm afraid, Chris.
But you mean I'm...
We'd give you the chop.
Are you sure? Are you positive?
Well, yes.
Is that your final answer?
Absolutely, unequivocally, irreversibly, yes.
Is that your final answer?
Well, I just said so, you complete ignoramus.
Why are you getting rid of me?
Well, because you're a smug, self-satisfied git, and the public have had a gutful of your smarmy ways.
Is the correct answer?
All right, my loves, Brucey here. You're listening to Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. Old Podcast, Barmy Danter's Ian. You're listening to... Marvellous.
Shall we head for the House of Commons then? I think we ought to, so that we can hear once again from the politically incorrect MP for Dudley, your friend and mine, Black Country Bob. Now, in real life, there is no specific MP for Dudley as a whole. It's kind of split into regions, you see. But Sean and I were told in our BR&B days that One of the members representing the constituency was aware of Bob and thankfully thought it was very funny, so we never had any problems in that regard. Thanks to a chap called Tony, by the way, who mentioned Bob specifically in his lovely review on Apple Podcasts, saying, "Can we have more of Black Country Bob in this government? Sort some stuff out." Well, I'm not quite sure how he'd manage that, really. Here he is, getting on his high horse, or IOS, as the great man himself might say, with Tony Blair in the House of Commons on the other side of the dispatch box. Sing along with the theme, then. You know you want to.
He's in the House of Commons, he's parliamentary, and proudly representing his constituency. He's the perfect politician until he opens his gob. He's the MP for Dudley, he's Black Country Bob.
Mr. Speaker!
Prime Minister's questions. Black Country Bob.
Mr. Speaker, I sat through 5 minutes of an opera on the telly last week, and I'd like to say that whoever decided to give the Royal Opera House lottery funding should be sacked.
Sacked? Why?
Because it's crap.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It's boring and it's expensive.
Oh, the Right Honourable Member for Dudley clearly does not know what he is talking about.
Yes, I do.
Some operas are cheaper to attend than football matches, you know.
Oh, but football matches last 90 minutes. And you get an interval.
So do operas.
But you don't get to see it all kick off on the way home from Madame Butterfly, do ya?
Outrageous.
Football is watched every week by millions, yet only a few stuck-up geeks in London enjoy opera.
Hang on, I like opera.
There you go. I rest my case!
Oh, so the Right Honourable Member Dudley is saying even if I gave him free tickets, he would not go and see an opera?
Nah!
What, Madame Butterfly?
Nah!
Leslie Garrett?
Nah!
Three tenors?
Oh, I'll do it for 30 quid! As long as I could get a pie and some bovril at half-time!
Order!
What am you all lot laughing at?
Order! I will have order that!
Still to come, Des is renting videos out. Imagine that. And a former Villa boss serenades an unlucky goalkeeper of his. But next on the Barmy Old Podcast, we're all watching a lot more telly than we normally would in these times, and some shows are really taking advantage of the potential to reach bigger audiences at the moment. And one such programme was recently moved from a kind of tea time slot on BBC Two straight to primetime on BBC One, and its calm, friendly, understated nature has made it incredibly popular already. Here's an example of the show which didn't make the final cut for some reason.
Welcome to the repair shop, where precious but fading treasures are restored to their former glory. Furniture restorer Jay Blaines and a dream team of experts come together to work their magic. Employing skills passed down the generations, they will attempt to restore the items and unlock the stories that they hold. First up, Jack from Birmingham has brought along a precious item that has recently been severely damaged. Hello, I'm Jay.
All right, Jay. I'm Jack.
The restoration will require the skills of our resident PR expert.
Okay, Jack, how can we help you then?
Well, it's my reputation. It's very precious to me. It's been shattered and it needs restoring.
So, tell us what happened.
Well, the other day, right, just after the lockdown, I did a video telling everyone to stay safe and stay at home, but then the next day, I went out to my mate's house and there was a car involved, and I was photographed near the scene with a slipper on and a shoe on, and now everyone thinks I'm an idiot. Oh, please help me. Please.
Right, leave it with us and we'll see what we can do.
Jack came to the repair shop for help after making a total arse of himself. He's back today to see how the team got on with the restoration.
Hello, Jack. Good to see you.
All right, Jay, how did it go then?
Well, good news, Jack. Using a large amount of money to pay fines and make generous donations to good causes, combined with a meticulously worded statement with a carefully thought out apology incorporated into it, we think we have fully restored your reputation.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, thank you. Everyone in the family is going to be thrilled because my reputation means so much to me. Oh, I've lost my words. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So, reputation restored, Jack leaves the repair shop a happy man. Join us next week when Kyle from Manchester visits the repair shop with a similar but slightly more embarrassing problem than Jack. Until then, stay safe.
Hello there, I'm Trevor Francis, former manager of Birmingham City Football Club, established 1875, League Cup winners 1963 and 2011. And, you know, you're listening to Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast, a show that, you know, I listen to on many occasions.
Well, most of you might know that I'm a Birmingham City supporter, like my dad and my granddad before me. Most of my life, the Blues have been playing outside the top flight. But during the end of our time on air at BRMB and throughout our Heart FM days, we were a Premier League side. Not only that, but for our first three seasons in the Prem, we also had a brilliant record against the Villa. We won four and drew two of the first six Birmingham derbies. In fact, there was one derby game at Villa Park whilst I was on air at Heart one Sunday lunchtime. The Heart studios on Broad Street in Birmingham did not have Sky Sports, and so I had to follow the game on good old teletext. Remember that? Villa were 2-0 up with a few minutes left and the screen suddenly flicked over on teletext and Blues had scored a consolation goal, but all too late. Or so I thought. I was halfway through a live link a minute or so later when out of the corner of my eye, the teletext screen flicked over again to indicate not only that it was suddenly 2-2, but it was full time and we'd snatched a point. How I never swore in exultation on air at that point, I shall never know. Anyway, goalkeeper error became a bit of a theme in those years for Villa. You might remember a certain keeper from Finland called Peter letting a throw-in go under his boot for a Blues goal in the first such derby in September of 2002. God, what a night that was. I was on the Tilton. And there was another major howler by Villa's then Danish international goalkeeper in Blues' 2-0 win in March 2005. Now, the keeper concerned actually stayed at the club for another 3 years in the end, to be fair to him. But we imagine for that weekend Sunday carve-up that his manager, David O'Leary, had had enough of his goalie and called him into the office a couple of days after for a chat. Or, more accurately, to sing him a 70s chart classic that I'd lovingly pieced together at my home studio.
Hello, boss. You wanted to see me?
Yeah, Thomas, in that way. It's about Sunday's performance.
Yeah?
How can I put this?
What is wrong, boss?
Goodbye, Thomas. It's time you moved.
What?
Your current contract will not be renewed.
Why not?
Because Emil Heskey scored that goal.
Oh, yes, I see.
He's 10 times worse than Andy Cole. P45, you're on the dole. Goodbye, Thomas. It's hard to take. When Villa keepers make such big mistakes, especially against the Blues, looks like you couldn't catch the flu. That's why I'm getting rid of you. Blues had joy, Blues had fun, 'cause of Thomas Sorensen. He's the one they all love, 'cause he's got Teflon on his gloves.
Well, then, goodbye, Villa. Please pray for me.
Why is that, then?
It is not the first time I've been unlucky.
Oh, yeah?
Went to the swimming baths today.
Right.
Cut my head open, I should say, because I dived the wrong way.
Goodbye, Thomas, it's hard to win when you are letting all these soft ones in. But Doug won't pay big transfer fees. I wish that I was back at Leeds.
Oh, shut up about Leeds!
I'd squander millions on babies. Blues had joy, blues had fun. Thanks to Thomas Aronson. On your back, you lay flat. You must do better than that. Blues had joy, blues had fun. Cause of Thomas Aronson. After that, Villa fans would welcome back old Inkleman.
Time to delve back into Desi's diaries, as they became known, rather than Des's dedications once we had moved to Heart FM in 2004. And thank you to Mick Jones, presumably not the bloke from The Clash, who got in touch via my Twitter handle, which is at TalkDance, at TalkDants, to recall and request one particular Des where films were a very important part of the story. Well, I found it, Mick, so here it is. And again, as I've said before with this item, I have absolutely no idea how we got away with etc, etc.
Des's Diary.
Hi, girls. Des here on Ian Danter's Sunday Carve-Up here on 100.7 Hard FM. And it's time, once again, for Des's Diaries. And today, it's a big hi, girls. To all the staff at my local video shop, where, would you believe it, I used to work with a girl called Trace. One day, she came around to my house to view some videos. I was quite a big Warren Beatty fan, so as soon as she sat down, I said, "Do you fancy some dick, Tracy?" Well, she bought along Guy Ritchie's follow-up to Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
"Yes, as long as you have a good look at my snatch first," she replied.
Well, then I got my lethal weapon out, but she mistook it for a James Cameron epic and wanted it amongst her David Lynch collection.
"Oh, my God, that's Titanic," she gasped. "Come over here and put it between my Twin Peaks."
Well, what can I say? As soon as I showed her my full Monty, she grabbed my Thunderball, and when I gave her a deep impact, she produced a scream.
Fantastic.
But you know what? We ended up spending most of the time watching a Disney film about a very large killer whale.
There's nothing like an evening of Free Willy,
she purred. Cheerio.
Des's Diary, the Sunday Carve-Up, 100.7 Heart FM.
Got another classic unreleased Mr. Men story on the way for you in a bit. Before that, we played you that clip of The Repair Shop a little earlier, the new BBC One show that's benefiting from great audience numbers just now. Apparently another format that's doing brilliant numbers on the telly at the moment is any kind of cookery programme. I mean, I love a bit of MasterChef myself. Anyway, with that in mind, let's cross to the kitchen now, where our old pal Ainsley Harriet is waiting.
Hello, I'm Ainsley.
And welcome to a very special lockdown version of Ready Steady Cook. And joining us from his home in Cornwall to give his advice to our celebrity guest today is none other than Gordon Ramsay, yes.
Yep, hello Ainsley. I'm really looking forward to this. I hope this mysterious celebrity you've got has some, you know, ability in the kitchen. I'm also presuming he's brought along some challenging ingredients, and if so, we should be able to rustle up something really tasty and nutritious, yes?
Oh, yes, Gordon.
So, time to welcome our celebrity guest from his kitchen in Beverly Hills, USA.
It's none other
than Ozzy Osbourne.
Hi, Ainsley. All right, Gordon. Oh, you've got to be f***ing kidding me. This is going to be a f***ing joke.
All right then, Ozzy.
And what are we going to be cooking with?
Well, I've got a slice of bread, right? And an egg. I don't believe this. What a disgrace. I'm just wasting my time here. I mean, what about greens and spices? No fresh vegetables, no local ingredients. I tell you, this dish is going to be a disaster.
Oh, what is he like, eh?
So, Ozzy, tell us what you're going to make and how you've prepped the dish.
Well, I'm going to be doing poached egg on toast, Ainsley. and just before we came on air, right, Sharon put the bread in the toaster and the egg in the pan of water. Hang on, I can smell something funny.
You're burning the toast, you f***ing idiot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How do I get it out of the toaster? I'll just reach in.
No,
there.
Ozzy, don't put your finger in the toaster.
Oh, are you okay, Ozzy?
No, I'm not f***ing all right. There's smoke coming off the enemy f***ing fingers, man.
You better get that egg out the boiling water sharpish. Otherwise, the yolk's going to be as hard as a golf ball.
Okay. I'll just use my other hand to reach into the pan.
No, Ozzy, use a spoon. Don't put your hand in the boiling water.
Oh, I've burnt me other hand now. Oh, hang on. The egg's broke as well. All right, I'll just scoop it on the floor and slap it on the toast.
Oh, yes, voila.
That looks scrumptious, Ozzy.
And are you going to get some Susie salt and Percy pepper,
What the f*** are you on about?
Well, what about seasoning?
Well, it's nice and warm outside, so I'm presuming it's summer. Unbelievable.
Thank you for the great response we've been getting online to our Mr. VAR story that we debuted on last week's episode. We're dipping back into the vaults for this next Mr. Mentale that was specifically requested somewhere by someone, and I'm so sorry that I just can't locate you now to give you a proper credit, but hopefully you're listening. So here you go with another previously unreleased story told, as always, by the late, great Arthur Lowe.
Mr. Taxi driver picked up a fare, clicked the meter onto £2 before he'd even gone 1 yard, and then asked the man where he wanted to go. Damn it, thought Mr. Taxi driver. That's only a few miles. I'll only make a couple of quid. So, can you guess what Mr. Taxi driver did? Yes, you're right. He went down every back alley, side road, or one-way street he knew to stretch out the journey. You sure you know where you're going? Inquired the passenger. Yes, of course, trust me. The direct route isn't always the best route, lied Mr. Taxi driver as he turned down another country lane. Now, 40 minutes later, after spending what seemed like an eternity waiting for the lights to change at a remote railway crossing with the meter still running, Mr. Taxi driver finally pulled up outside the passenger's house and, do you know what he did? Yes, he charged him £25 for what should have been a £5 fare. You went the long way round, complained the man as he handed over the money. Trust me, the direct route isn't always the best route, repeated Mr. Taxi driver patronizingly. And he then took the rest of the night off and picked up a curry on his way home. Now, a couple of weeks later, Mr. Taxi driver developed a stomach ulcer. We'll have to put a camera down your throat and have a look at that, said Mr. Taxi driver's GP. So, a few days later, when Mr. Taxi driver lay on his hospital bed awaiting this routine medical procedure, he was quite alarmed when the doctor with a miniature camera in his hand headed toward Mr. Taxi driver's bottom and not his face. Hey, the ulcer's in my upper intestine. You're supposed to put that down my throat, snarled Mr. Taxi driver. At this point, the doctor momentarily pulled the mask off his face and, could you guess who it was? Yes, you're right. The passenger Mr. Taxi driver had ripped off and, can you guess what he said? Yes, you're right again. He said, trust me, the direct route isn't always the best route. And guess what he did then? Bingo. He rammed the camera up the place where the sun doesn't shine. And do you know what else? He didn't use any lubrication at all. Poor Mr. Taxi driver. The stupid
Let's round things off with some more music. Back in our Heart FM days, one of the biggest songs on the station was The Streets and Dry Your Eyes, Mate. Now, The Streets played some UK outdoor festivals in 2005, about a year after they'd topped the charts. And to my total surprise, the frontman, Mike Skinner, was photographed on stage wearing a Birmingham City top. And there was me thinking he was from London with his "Is it garage, is it urban?" kind of rapping voice. Turns out he grew up in West Heath, just outside Brum. So we asked ourselves, Sean and I, what his biggest hit would have sounded like if he'd stayed true to his Brummy roots and accent.
In one single moment, your whole life can turn round. You stand there for a minute, staring straight in the ground, looking to the left slightly, then looking back down. World feels like it's caved in, proper sorry frown.
What's he on about?
Please let me show you where we can only just be for us. I can change, I can grow, and we can adjust. The wicked thing about us is that we always have trust. We can even have an open relationship if you must. You're a prat, mate. You should have dumped her first, then gone off with her best mate. And then left her up the stick. Well, you're a prat, mate. You should have told her she was nothing but a minger. And you just used her for a leg over. And I'm just standing there, and of course say a word.
Because
everything's just gone. I've got nothing.
What about your blue season tickets?
Absolutely nothing.
What about it?
Oh, now in the post I found it hard to say.
Don't apologise.
Telling you things, but not telling straight.
Yeah, look at the time, them open.
But the more I pull on your hand and say.
Come on, mate, the match starts in 10 minutes.
The more you pull away.
Come on, it's your round.
Well, you're a prat, mate. You should have chucked her first and told her she was frigid. And her backside was really big. You're a prat, mate. You should have told her that she really bored you rigid. It's time to go to the pub now. It's over.
I'll play that last tune especially for my old boss at Heart, Alan Carruthers, who very kindly messaged me a week or so back saying how much he was enjoying the podcasts, especially since now he can listen to the sketches and not immediately think, Jesus, I hope the big boss Phil didn't hear that. Alan, now I know just how much you protected me from all sorts I didn't know about. You legend. Thank you. Well, we've come to the end of this episode and I thank you, whether you're an ex-boss of mine or not, for being with us. We really enjoy putting this show together for your entertainment, and hopefully it's raised a smile, maybe even a titter, along the way. Rate, review, and subscribe, yada, yada, yada. You know the drill by now, I'm sure. And if this was your first time with us, the archive of the previous 4 episodes is available where you found this one. Requests and comments via Twitter at TalkDance, TalkDants. And don't forget, you can also email me direct via my website. That's iandanter.co.uk. Be lovely to hear from you either way. Stay safe, keep smiling, and see you back here for the next one on Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast. And as Des would say,
cheerio.